bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Means now I have the mindset of Christ, I don't have the right authority to go wander down that lane. The lane of self-pity. The lane of indulgence. The lane of pride. The lane of insecurity. I don't have the authority. What happens when your thoughts begin to wander? Folks, I'm affected by it too. I've caught myself doing that time and again. And the thought comes and says, you know, you've worked so hard and you're such a good guy and you've done so well. It's a shame that, and I'm like, wait a minute, I don't have time for that. You bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. It doesn't belong.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Yield by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our goal is simple: to make Christ visible in everything that we do. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
In the Christian life, some people have the mindset, I do it. I can live the Christian life. I can change. I can do better. I can live for God. I can glorify God. I can do these things. And unfortunately, when they do that, they end up making a big mess, and they get discouraged, and they get disillusioned, and they walk away from the Christian life, or they walk away from church, as if church doesn't work, as if Christian life doesn't work. It's just for the chosen few. For them, they tried, it just did not work. And the problem is, they're doing it all wrong. You see, when we think we can do it, that's not the Christian life. What is the Christian life? Christian life is learning to yield to God and His work in our lives. Now, don't misunderstand. When I say yield, does not mean neutral. No, when I say yield, we're talking about passively letting God do the active work in our lives. We have to. We have to cooperate with Him. But He does the major work when we yield to Him. So this morning we're in our series called Mind Reset, and have been for a couple of months, from Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11. If you have your Bibles with you, let's turn there and let's all stand together as we read this passage. You should have this passage memorized by now. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have focused on this before, but we're going to really focus on it this morning. You say, well, I think we went past that. Yes, we're coming back to it, and there's a reason for that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider equality with God something to grasp. Now, I know it looks different on the screen than what I just said, but we've talked about this. The translation is better this way. But made himself of no reputation, meaning he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Why slave? Because we were in slavery to sin. And coming in the likeness of man means fully God, became fully man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. That's the first mark of the incarnation of Jesus, is humility. He humbled himself. But here's the second mark. And became obedient. Humility, obedience. You cannot live the Christian life without those two elements. Demonstrated by Christ himself, our Savior, our Lord. But how much was he obedient? He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So what's the result? Verse 9. Therefore God the Father has also highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We looked at the glory last weekend. Before we pray and begin this message, how is your Christian life? And the most important question, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord? If you've never done that, never prayed to receive him, it's very simple. It's saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner. You came and died for my sins, and I want you to come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and take over. It's very important to tell him to take over. And I want you to be my king. Whatever you say, I will do. So as I pray for God's blessing on this message, and if you've never prayed to receive Jesus, you pray that prayer. God, come into my life. Jesus, forgive me and take over. I want us to go back again to verse 5 on the screen. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, we covered this a couple of months ago, but we're coming back to this for a reason. You may not be aware of this, but there has been a big debate over the years over the meaning of this simple verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Is Paul calling us to imitate Christ? Or is he calling us to celebrate Christ and what he did? Now, I know some of y'all are thinking, I didn't think there was a problem with that verse. I didn't know there was an issue there. But think about it for a moment. When Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, is he telling us to imitate Jesus and have a mind like his, or is he simply telling us to celebrate Jesus? Think about it. Me and Mike have a little issue going on. But I've decided I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to humble myself and let Mike have his way. And I'm going to obey the word and still love him. Because one day, God's going to make me rule over Mike. Mike's going to bow before me. That day is coming. It's going to give me a new name. I don't know what that name's going to be, but I know Mike's going to bow before that name. Folks, you see how ludicrous that is. Can you truly imitate Jesus from this passage? If you think about it, no. Maybe to a certain extent, but God's not going to exalt you. If you think that temporarily I'm going to humble myself, be obedient, and one day I'm going to rule over my enemies and stomp over them, this is not the Christian life. So what exactly is Paul talking about in this passage? Listen to that again. He says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Is it being a charismatic passage, or is it exemplary? Is this only doctrine and not example? Well, it is very important to start with that we understand what Paul really meant here, because it makes a profound difference in how we see God's work in our lives. So this passage, again on the screen, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to understand what that really means. Is it simply imitation? Well, we know it's not. Is it only celebration, that this is not about us imitating Jesus? No, we can't do it. So it's just about Jesus? No. I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. We need to understand what this passage really, truly means. And to do that, I'm going to put three words, one at a time, on the board here. Hopefully that will help you understand what's really going on. The first word I'm going to put here is the word possess. Possess. Listen carefully if you're taking notes, or you can be following on the blog site. If you are saved, you already possess the mind of Christ. If you are saved, you already have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you does not mean that the mind of Christ is here and I need to try to possess it. I need to try to aspire to it and try to imitate this perfect mind of God. First things first, if you are a Christian, you already possess it. Now let's back up for a moment. What is the mind? The mind, if you remember in the early messages about a couple of months ago, a human being is mind and body. What is the mind? The mind is the immaterial part of us, the part that people don't see. Mind is much more than just brain and brain waves. It's something more about us when we talk about the mind. And I know some passages talk about the soul or heart, but really, truly, a human being is mind and body. Body is what you see. Mind, body. Both mind and body are equally important. Mind is not superior over the body. When people think that way, that's not a biblical idea. That's not from the Old Testament. If you were to talk to a Hebrew or a Jewish person and say, well, mind is more important than the body, they would not understand what you're saying. Both mind and what you see standing before you are equally important, and they make me who I am. And both mind and body have been corrupted by sin. They have been affected by sin, and both are redeemed by the work of Jesus Christ. Mind as well as body. Now, we know more about the mind but not the body, but think about it for a moment. What happens when you get saved? Your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Means it's not just my mind is going to be redeemed, it's also my body. It's now, it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to Jesus. And what's going to happen one day? One day, not only will God renew and redeem my mind completely, but also my body is going to be transformed into the glorious body like Jesus Christ. So, both mind and body are going to be redeemed. But this passage is not as much about the body, so we're going to leave the body alone. We're going to just talk about the mind. What do we know about the mind? If you remember from the messages a few weeks ago, God has made our mind. God has made this part of us. Not just brain, not just the nervous system, but He's the one who's made our mind. And our mind is a product, to start with, of our parents, our mom and our dad. And you can go further back to our ancestors. It's a product of their characteristics. That's why sometimes you act like your mom, sometimes you act like your dad. You even look like them, right? Physically speaking. But even mentally, there are habits and traits you have just like your parents and even grandparents, even if you'd never met them. What else makes your mind? What else composes your mind? Well, your mind is also shaped by the worldview with which you grew up. So if you grew up in a home where you believed in going to church, the church was important, it's going to shape your mind towards the things of God. You're going to be softened towards serving God and going to church. It's not going to be a struggle. It's not going to be a pull. What else makes your mind what it is? Circumstances. Circumstances. If you grew up in a loving home, you are going to be easy to get along with. If you did not grow up in a loving home, if you grew up in a home where a lot of drama went on, guess what? You're going to be a pain to live with. There's always somebody who's got to stir the pot. Are y'all with me? There's drama, constant drama. You see, your mind is shaped by circumstances and the choices that we make, not just when we were young, but even through the years. And what happens? We begin to accumulate certain assumptions in life. Certain assumptions. There are people sitting here right now, right this moment, who believe church is important, but just a little bit, not too much. Everything in moderation, because you grew up and some parent told you, son, it's okay to go to church, but not too much. In moderation, if not, they become fanatics. You don't want to be a fanatic, son. You see, you have a certain assumption. If you grew up in a home where mom always criticized dad and always talked down to him, you grew up with the mindset that men are just slobs. Men are just beasts. That's all they are. And guess what's going to happen? That's how you're going to see your husband. That's how you're going to see even your sons. That's just how the assumption is. Now, what happens when you have those assumptions? They lead to motivations, and then there are expectations. Assumptions, Motivations, expectations. What happens when your expectations are dashed? What happens if you grew up in a home where you were the center of attention? You were everything, but now you are in a setting where you're no longer the center of attention. You're over there in the corner. How do you respond when your expectations are dashed? Well, your motivations are questioned, and you get angry. You get mad. You see, this is our mind. And to make matters worse, this mind is sinful. We are born in trespasses and sin. We have a sin nature, so makes things even worse. We have our traits, and there may be good traits, there may be good upbringing, there may be good worldview. That's why there are people who are really nice people. They will give you the shirt off their back, but they don't know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Do you know people like that? Wonderful people. There's that lady who will bake a cake and she will come visit you in the hospital, but has zero understanding of what it means to have Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. You see, she had a good upbringing. And unfortunately, sometimes you have people who are not saved who act better than people who are saved. But please listen. No amount of good work and giving the shirt off your back and baking cakes for people and giving money and dropping it in that pot for the Santa Claus, it doesn't matter. Any of those things will not get you into heaven. Because if there was another way, Jesus Christ did not have to die. If there was another way, if only we could help people grow up in a good situation and have good circumstances, if that could get people in heaven, Jesus did not have to die. That's why he is the only way, truth, and life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. The problem with those people is they have a decent worldview. They haven't grown up in a horrible situation, but they have a disconnect with God. There's no God in their lives. And they're lost. And I see them all the time. Our time is very short. Let me keep moving. So what happens when we get saved? God gives us a new mind. Now please don't misunderstand what this means. New mind does not mean that now you have the old sin mind and then you have another mind, as if you are double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, right? Now you're not walking around with two minds. Ephesians chapter 4, 23-25 says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." It does not mean that now you have the old mind and the new mind, and all through life you go and say, new mind or old mind? Oh, let me just go with the old one. It's comfortable. Oh, this time I'm going to do the new one. We're at church. That's not how it works. What exactly does Paul mean when he talks about the new mind? Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. And by the way, a portion of this verse we're going to read together. And I really want y'all to read, okay? "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" Are you ready? This is the portion. "But we have the mind of Christ." If you are saved, you have. You possess the mind of Christ. And by the way, when we talk about the mind of Christ, what we're really talking about is the mindset of Christ. It's not as if all of a sudden now you have another big object inside your brain. No, you have the mindset of Christ. When we talk about the mindset, we're referring to the disposition and the character of Christ. How does it happen? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. It comes through the Holy Spirit. Well, it can only be received by those who are saved, and you can know it. Verse 14, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God." Please listen to this. If you are not saved, you're still natural. This stuff is not going to make sense to you. No, The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, the mindset of Christ comes over. The power of sin over your mind is broken. Something else happens. When this mindset comes in through the Holy Spirit, you have spiritual discernment. Listen to verse 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. You're able to tell when someone is preaching the word or not. You can tell when there's a Holy Spirit working and he is not. You can tell when lives are being truly changed and they're not. And that's why when some people come and they critique or they get upset, I have to ask myself, do they truly have spiritual discernment, or their assumptions got challenged? Oh, well, I grew up in church, and you know, church to me is blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I wish you would be like that.
Oh, wait a minute. This has got nothing to do with spiritual discernment. What's happening in this person is their assumptions are being challenged, so they are pouting.
I'm not singing that song.
Okay. Now, if you're saved, what's going to happen is you may have those assumptions, but in time you're going to say, yeah, I see what's happening, but wow, man, God's working. I got to get on this train. Are y'all still with me? I got to get on this train because God is working. And, you know, what I thought was right, it's not, but this is a new way of doing things. Okay, lives are being changed. I'm in. Give me some time, but I'm in. There are people sitting here who came with the same mindset. It's like, well, I don't get this, but okay, I see it. But here's number two. The second word is the word passive. Go back to verse 5 again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When I was studying this verse in the original Greek, I noticed that a wide range of Greek manuscript used the word phronesto instead of the word phronete. I know many of y'all don't care about either of that, but phronesto was represented by a wide group of manuscripts, and it also matches the theology, the context better. Phronesto is present passive. Phronete, which some of the manuscripts had, is more present active. Now, here's the difference. Here's where it makes sense. The translation, let this mind be in you, is not have this mind among you. It's not think this way or set your mind this way. It is let this mind be in you. Let yourself so think. Let this be taught in you. It's passive. What you're really doing is you're yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You're not trying to create the mind of Christ. Folks, you and I can't create anything. We can only submit to His work. If you read Philippians carefully, several times this fact is confirmed. Starting in Philippians 1:6, Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What a blessing to hear that, isn't it? That if God has begun the work in my life, He will finish it. Christian life is not for me to upkeep. He will finish it. Let God do it. Listen to verse 11. Again, this tells us that our role is passive, His role is active. Not neutral, but passive. Verse 11 is being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Fruits of righteousness. If you are a Christian, you have the potential to bear fruits of righteousness. And He is transforming you. Well, you had a bad day yesterday. You really, you know, bad stuff came out. You said things you should not have said. You did things you should not have done. Okay, you had a bad day. But God is still transforming you. Don't give up. Don't listen to the enemy. You know what the enemy will tell you? That's it. How can you go to church and be such a hypocrite? No, it was a bad day. God, forgive me. Make it right with your spouse. Make it right with whoever you need to make it right with. But acknowledge that work has begun. Something else you do, beware of old thoughts. What do you mean by old thoughts? Just because the power of sin is broken and the mindset of Christ has come in, you still have to contend with memories. Memories. That's why those memories are so horrible. We tell our children, please don't make bad decisions, don't do stupid things, because those memories are very hard to get rid of. Isn't that true, folks? How many of y'all agree? Listen to what Paul says in Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. What are things on the earth? Well, if, you know, you grew up and you heard things like, you know, you had a tough life, honey. You just, you know, your grandma was very nice and sweet, but she said, honey, you had a tough life. I know the things happened to you. Guess what? Now you got an assumption. I had a tough life. So you go through life, I had a tough life. That song comes on, I had a tough life. Well, I'm entitled to some fun because I had a tough life. I'm entitled to do this. I'm at the dessert bar at the restaurant. I know I shouldn't be eating that, but I had a tough life. So not just one cheesecake. I'm going to have two or three. Why? Because I had a tough life. You don't know what I've been through. If I could tell you how many times I've heard that, you don't know what I've been through. I'm like, oh. You know what they're doing? They're accessing the old memories, the assumptions. I had it rough. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Please listen to this. If you don't get anything else, get this line. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Means now I have the mindset of Christ. I don't have the right authority to go wander down that lane. The lane of self-pity. The lane of indulgence. The lane of pride. The lane of insecurity. I don't have the authority. What happens when your thoughts begin to wander? Folks, I'm affected by it too. I've caught myself doing that time and again. And the thought comes and says, you know, you've worked so hard and you're such a good guy and you've done so well. It's a shame that, and I'm like, wait a minute, I don't have time for that. You bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. It doesn't belong. You see where your role comes in? It's a passive role, but it has to happen. Unless you do that, listen, you are going to impede. You know what the word means? You are going to obstruct the work of God in your life.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. The Christian life is about learning to yield to God and His work in our lives. Yielding doesn't mean being neutral. It's cooperating with God and transforming our mind. Are you doing that? Do you have the mind of Christ? For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.